Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Amin Elhassan from ESPN. Amin, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What's the word, guys? I'm just hanging out in my hotel room watching a little World Cup soccer.
Why would you do that?
Oh, man, I'm a big World Cup fan, man. I love the beautiful game.
We're just kidding. I mean, look at Fox. I mean, how dopey are they? They spent all that money, and then America's not even in it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the weird game that all of these broadcasters are doing, right? You got to put money down on things that you think are going to blow up because live sports is the only thing that you can't DVR.
That's true.
Well, the one thing people will be watching tonight, and it's a good investment by ESPN, is the NBA draft. And the Cavs fans, including us, have our eyes all over it. I mean, a lot of buzz here today with the Cavs in Charlotte with this Kemba Walker trade. Does that do anything for you? Does that move the needle at all?
I mean, it's for me. If I'm LeBron James, no. But, I mean, it's a start, I guess. Right?
What? Yeah, I mean, you know, don't they obviously to keep LeBron, and we don't know, nobody knows. Everybody's saying he's going to go, he's going to stay. Nobody really knows besides him, even, and he may not have even made his decision yet. But ultimately, to keep him, the Cavs have to get, probably not only get a third player, but also probably upgrade over Kevin Love. Is that even possible? Can you get Kemba Walker and upgrade for Kevin Love?
I think the second part of that equation is a lot harder to do. I mean, part of that is because Kevin Love is a pretty good player. It's just you can't have a team with Kevin Love and then a bunch of dudes, right? That's not good enough, right? He's not good enough to overcome guys 3 through 15 being just a bunch of dudes. And so, to me, the easier proposition is how do I upgrade 3 through 15? Because upgrading 2 is not going to be easy. Mainly because you got to, where are these people lining up to give you a better player than Kevin Love for Kevin Love? I don't know if those teams exist, right? But at the same time, Kemba Walker can't be, and we got you, Kemba Walker. Case closed. Great off season, guys. That's just a building block for something else that you've also got to add to significantly upgrade this team.
You think if these moves start to happen, LeBron will seriously consider the Cavaliers, or do you think he's already out the door?
No, I think he's willing to consider them, but they've got to make strides, right, in terms of improving the roster. I think that's the main thing. Kemba Walker is kind of like a poor man's Kyrie Irving, I guess, in terms of a shot maker, a guy who creates offense for himself but also for others. A dynamic, game-changing type of player with his quickness and his energy, but I just don't think he's good enough. If I'm LeBron James, and my thing is, okay, Cleveland, I'm willing to consider staying, but you got to wow me, and you come back with got you, Kemba Walker. I don't know if that's wowing. I'm like, okay, that's nice. What else did you get? Oh, that's it? That's all you got? You know, we got to deal with a Boston team that's probably going to come back with Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, and that almost pushed us to the limit in the conference finals. We got to deal with a Philly team that, even if they don't add better, way better than they were a year ago. And you're telling me your solution is I got you, Kemba Walker. That's just not enough.
Amin Elhassan of ESPN. Amin, sticking with Kemba Walker before we get to the enough and who else they could get. But you know, there was a report that maybe Charlotte would trade Kemba Walker to the Cavs just to move up three spots and maybe get rid of the Batum contract or get Jordan Clarkson in the deal. Are you buying that the Cavs can get Kemba Walker and not just give up the eighth pick, you know, and be able to – the Cavs could get the 11th pick from them as well?
So without giving up that pick, you're really in a tough spot because you need to tell me, all right, well, what are, you're not giving up the eighth pick, and what are you giving up? What is Charlotte?
Well, I'm flipping. I'm saying.
Oh, you said flip-flop. Flip-flop. Okay, yeah, right. I thought you meant get the 11 and not give up the 8 either. I said,
right. No.
I mean, I suppose the main thing is, do you believe that there is a drop in talent at past 8 before you get to 11? I kind of feel like 6 or 7 is the limit, and then at 8 you start talking about, is a guy like Michael Porter Jr. going to fall because of some medical stuff or what have you? So, I theoretically, I could see that happening. Now, you mentioned Batum. That definitely could get it popping because now the value that you're giving Charlotte isn't, hey, we're giving you a pick or giving you a player or something like that. The value is, hey, I'm doing you a favor. This awful, awful contract that you have that is ruining your life and you're not good anyway. I'll take that off of your hands. It's kind of the same thing that's happening with Memphis, where people are talking about the number 4 pick is all yours if you take Chandler Parsons. Those deals, I think, if you're Cleveland, you can afford to be aggressive in that way because what else are you going to do, right? You don't have a whole lot to offer people, but if you're able to offer salary relief, that's something people are always going to be interested in.
Yeah, I mean, Charlotte is, I mean, they're obviously trying to shed the salaries. I mean, that contract is just killing them, right? I mean, they're going to stink next year, as you mentioned. And the odds of Kemba, like, re-signing there long-term for a max is probably unlikely, I would assume, especially considering their situation with their contracts currently.
Yeah, and I mean, they have a good chance of keeping Kemba. I think he likes it there. I think he'd like to see Charlotte be better as opposed to just get me out of here. Again, I would say that a guy like you talk about Nick Batum's contract. Like, it's a weird thing. Like, Nick Batum is actually a good player, but his contract is awful. And so if you're a team like Charlotte and you're bereft of talent, that him having a contract like that, it's an absolute hamstring. If you're the Cavs, now again, is it Kemba Walker and Nick Batum? Does that make LeBron be like, okay, now we're talking? I don't know, but I do know that makes the Cavs better. Nick Batum is better than most of the Cavs roster. And so it's one of those things that you're Dan Gilbert. Are you okay paying a ridiculous amount of luxury tax, which they already are, he already is doing? It will get worse if you kind of do one of those deals, but is it worth it if you make your team better, significantly better?
Yeah. And how about Kemba Walker, Batum, and Dwight Howard? I mean, Dwight Howard's going to – your colleague Chris Haynes, who used to work here in Cleveland, is saying that Dwight Howard's going to get bought out by Brooklyn. There's been bad chemistry issues with him in the past. He's been on a million teams. He did have a better year last year than the last few years. Is Dwight Howard to the Cavs make any sense? And would that keep throwing other guys in? Does that change your mind at all?
Right. So there's two ways to look at it. Glass half full. Okay, now we're talking multiple players who are better than the people who play that position right now for Cleveland.
Right.
Right. And if you're LeBron, say, okay, this is help. Dwight Howard, whatever you want to say about his antics off the, you know, in the locker room or whatever, he's a tremendous rebounder. He still finishes really well out of pick and roll, and he protects the rim. And so that's stuff that, hey, guess what? Cleveland needs all that stuff as one of the worst defensive teams and one of the least athletic teams, I think, outside of LeBron James and maybe Larry Nance, right? And so then you talk about, again, Nick Batum, 6'9", long, athletic, guards multiple positions. All right, so that makes us better defensively. Kemba Walker, shot maker. All right, so now glass half full. Like, okay, that's a conversation if I'm LeBron. Like, all right, that upgrades my situation. Glass half empty. All right, are you comparing that with the possibility of playing with Kawhi and Paul George in L.A.? Yeah, that's not going to get it done, right?
Like,
that's
what are the odds of that, though? What are the odds of that this year?
If you're LeBron James, I think that you have a pretty good say in the controlling of those odds, right? Because if you if it starts with, obviously, Paul George is a guy who has free will, and if he's interested in coming to L.A., then you have that conversation with the Lakers that, hey, if Paul's coming, I'm coming, give up the farm for Kawhi, which is something that maybe the Lakers are reticent to do at this stage. Like, wait. Am I going to give up all of my young guys to go get Kawhi and then have Paul George resign Oklahoma City and LeBron go somewhere else? Now I've killed, you know, I have Kawhi Leonard for a year, but I don't have anything around him. That's a very different conversation if you say, oh no, PG and LeBron are coming. Now I don't mind overpaying, quote unquote, for Kawhi Leonard, even though, you know, you could technically wait a year and try and sign him outright.
Where does Chris Paul fall in all this? Is he definitely going back to Houston, or could he be a player here?
I don't want to paint a picture where, oh no, he's going 100% by coming back to Houston. All I know is when a player who has the opportunity to sign a deal of almost $200 million and says, no, I'll opt in to get traded somewhere, usually there's a wink, you know, but next year you guys are going to take care of me, right? And so the only way I would say I see Chris Paul not staying in Houston is if the Rockets all of a sudden get wishy-washy on paying a guy who's 33, 34 years old a whole lot of money.
Which I you couldn't blame him if they did, because he's been injured and he's getting old. So that's a big commitment to make with Chris Paul.
But they're awesome when he's out there, though.
Right. I mean, but if he can't stay healthy, does it matter?
I mean, that's a good point. It's something to keep in mind, I guess, is the best I could say. It's a corny answer, but that's the only way I can answer that.
I mean, do you hate Cleveland? People think you hate Cleveland. Do you hate Cleveland?
Like as a city or as an organization? As a city?
Well, yeah.
I'm not fond of Cleveland as a city. I'll say this. The people are very nice. We've been there 4 years in a row now, and whenever I'm out and about in Cleveland, everyone is very friendly and very nice. Now, I don't know if that's what my friends have said, that's just Midwestern politeness, or that's just people who genuinely love the NBA and love the job that we do at the Jump or whatever, and are just unabashed about sharing that. But it's not like if you ask me to make a list of places that I'd like to be, it wouldn't rank very high.
Well, but what's the beef? What is the beef? Like, where are you from, Amin? Where are you from?
I'm from New York City.
I'm from New York City, too. I live most of my life in New York. And I'll always be a New Yorker, and I love New York. But there are things that are better in Cleveland than in New York. Well, and, you know, I mean, good things and bad things about all cities, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Good things and bad things about all cities. But I'll say I'm a New Yorker. I love New York. I don't think I could ever live in New York again. I wouldn't trade, you know, one of my buddies. So I'm out in L.A. a lot, and I have a lot of people I grew up with who live in L.A. now. We were all at some bar, and there's this young lady who said, well, you guys all from New York? Said, yeah, so what's better, New York or L.A.? And my buddy thought for a second. He said, I'm glad I grew up in New York, but I'm glad I live in L.A. And I think that's the best way to put it. Like, growing up in New York gives you a character and a drive and, like, all the stuff that I wouldn't trade for growing up in any other city. But now that I'm an adult and I cannot have winners, and I can, you know, I can not have to pay $3,000 a month to live in a box. Yeah, like those things are kind of the quality of life things that you get from not being in New York come up.
I mean, will there be a round two of you attempting American Ninja Warrior, or is that just going to end it right there?
I would absolutely do it again if I got the chance. The whole thing was they were filming in Miami, and they wanted to promote the event, and so Akbar and Matt, the host of American Ninja Warrior, came on Levitard's show, and the quid pro quo, I guess, or, I mean, I think they were just being nice. They said, hey, do you guys want to try the course? And we said, sure. And so that's why I was in that position in the beginning. But I love that show. I watch it all the time with my family.
Yeah.
And so, it's a funny thing to me that people were like, oh, I can't believe you made a fool of yourself. You wouldn't try something like that? Something that you know in a million years on your own merits you would never have the opportunity to do? Why wouldn't you try something like that?
Oh, no. I would try it in a heartbeat, and I thought it was hilarious. And you embraced it on Twitter and everything. But, I like, how tough was the course? I mean, that does not look easy. for you to balance across those things and try to.
I watch this, my son and I watch the show all the time.
Have you seen the clip of Amin?
I didn't see it. But we watch the show all the time.
It's got a million hits. Or 5 million hits. Yeah,
it became a Twitter moment. What's funny is, so you watch the show all the time. So you know the first obstacle for the longest time, and for years, has been the floating steps. Right, you jump from one to the other and get so. I'm geared up for like, floating steps, no problem. I'm not going to mess this up. You know, I know how to hopscotch, right? Come on. And then we get there, and it's a different first obstacle. And, you know, it's brand new to the point where we all have to sign NDAs, basically not disclosing what the obstacles look like, what they are, or anything like that, because we tape this in April, but it airs in June. And the reason why they do that is because these actual athletes that compete in this thing, they're crazy. Like, when they see these obstacles, then they build replicas in their backyards and in warehouses and stuff, and then they practice on it. And so the American Ninja Warrior show, when they have new obstacles, they don't want athletes in other cities to benefit from, like, oh, I heard they've got this weird spinning thing, and then to practice on it. They want that element of surprise. And so, again, I'm not an athlete who trains with this year-round.
I just saw it.
I was surprised. I was like, whoa, where are the floating steps? This is what I prep for mentally. And then there's the rope, and I'm worried about shredding my hands on the rope, and there's a whole bunch of those things.
All right, Amin. Hey, listen, you know, we want LeBron to come back because it's good for business for us. It's good for the team. And now there's another reason we want to come back because we want to make you come to Cleveland. We're going to make you fall in love with Cleveland. I understand you don't like the organization. I mean, I don't like Dan Gilbert either.
No.
I'm not – But
I don't like Dan Gilbert. I don't like a lot of owners. There's a lot of owners that
I don't
like. So yeah, but I like Kobe Altman. I like Coach Lou. I like a lot of people who work for the Cavs. Obviously, David Griffin, who was my mentor, probably my closest friend in this business. He won the championship for the Cavs. So it's nothing against the organization specifically. But Dan Gilbert, he could take a hike.
Yeah, listen, I feel you on Dan Gilbert. But Cleveland is a great city, man. Cost of living's great. It's easy to get around. There's good and bad in all cities, New York, L.A., all of it, you know. So, anyway, we appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on with us.
No problem, guys. Anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.